Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Drake May talking about Mike Vrabel, his leadership throughout training camp, going into the preseason, and week one right around the corner for the Pats. That was Patriots Monday yesterday. Drake May on WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart. You can check that out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Your big takeaway from preseason game number one, Keefe, was, and I think you called this a baseline, right, improvement for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. They weren't penalized. There weren't, like, issues lining up.
It was a pretty clean game.
Clean game.
Yeah.
Right? They knew where to line up on the opening kickoff, instance. Like, Gerard Mayo's first kickoff last year, they couldn't line up properly.
Right.
They won the game.
Tough start.
We all kind of forgot
about
it.
Tough literal start.
But they couldn't line up properly on the opening kick for the season.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff shouldn't happen under Vrabel, but that is a baseline improvement. And that's been bad now for a few years. That was bad at the end under Bill, too. That attention to detail wasn't there. You hope that's improved. There's some snarl to their game, edge to their game. I think you saw that specifically with Will Campbell, but even to a lesser degree, like Trevion Henderson running people over, I think you're seeing some of that. So good, good. I expect those things to be better. I think you can count on those things. How about Vrabel getting the most out of Drake May? And that would mean from a leadership standpoint, which I know Giardi has had this opinion before, Hart asked Drake May about this as well. Is he comfortable being a leader? Uh-huh. And how comfortable are you with having that fall on your shoulders in year two? Can Vrabel get the most out of him in that regard as the leader of the team, making strides in year two, ironing things out of his game? I mean, put another way, is Mike Vrabel the right guy for Drake May? I think that's the next box we got to check while we're evaluating Mike Vrabel in year one.
Yeah, and we'll see, because it's one of the reasons why I wanted the offensive guy for Drake May.
Same.
You know, and so you look at all these quarterbacks that have done really, really well and who they've had as their head coaches. Now, there are examples of the other way, right? Like Sean McDermott would not be a guy that I would think that I would want, or at the time of the hiring be like perfect for my quarterback. And I still don't even know if he was. Like, they had Brian Daboll as their offensive coordinator, and then Josh Allen developed under him. They added Diggs. Then Daboll even moves on. Diggs even moves on, but at that point, he's like a made man.
Yep.
Right? Like, he is good. He's got Sean McDermott, and he's down. He's on to his third offensive coordinator, and he's a stud. But he had McDermott and Daboll and Diggs, really, were like the three guys that helped develop Josh Allen. So, to me, I think, like, on the field and some of the, you know, just his overall stats, for example, are going to be really Josh McDaniels, I think, kind of leading him there. But then there's that other stuff, like the clock management and just, I think, football IQ stuff that the head coach is going to be a big factor in. And, you know, Bill, like, we know that it's Brady greater than Belichick, but I do think Belichick deserves a lot of credit for taking a young quarterback and sort of being the guy that, you know, got him ready. You hear all those stories about those guys would meet every week. And even though he's a defensive guy and a defensive genius, some of that other stuff I think they worked really well together on. And so maybe Vrabel can kind of duplicate that part of it. Like, just teach Drake May everything he knows, some of the little tricks. Where you always felt like Brady had a leg up on everybody that he was playing for just, like, awareness, like general awareness.
Situational football
is probably the easiest way to boil it down. And so, yeah, in that sense, maybe Vrabel will be really beneficial for Drake May. You know, some defensive guys in the league do have great young quarterbacks, and maybe this will be an example.
And so what you hope is the setup is closer to Washington a year ago, right? Dan Quinn is a defensive head coach.
Yep.
He's been to a Super Bowl before, but, you know, he made his bones on defense. And you paired Jaden Daniels with Cliff Kingsbury, and you hope it's a similar setup here where you have a strong head coach and then you have the offensive guy in his ear, Kingsbury in the case of Daniels, McDaniels in the case of Drake May, and you hope that's a similar setup. I'm like you, Keefe. I don't love that setup. That wouldn't be my choice, but there are examples of that working. Mm. McDermott is one. We just said Jaden Daniels and what's going on in Washington is another. I even say, and it's a while now with John Harbaugh, and even to the transition from Flacco to Lamar was years ago, but Harbaugh was a very established head coach at that time. I'd say that's another one. He was a special teams guy when he came into the league. That works at a high level.
Yeah.
So there are examples of it
working.
And you hope that's the case. But that to me is now the new challenge for Vrabel. Establishing culture, playing with an edge, snarl, whatever you want to call it, cleaning up the little mistakes, the crap that gets you beat. I'm willing to buy in on all that. I think Vrabel's now going to do it. I think we're already seeing that. The next thing, and we're not going to know it for a while, is he the right match for Drake May? So in this way, Keith, I think the coaching staff rankings you referenced earlier in the show that came out a couple of weeks ago, where the Patriots were 20th or something like that. Is that where they were? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that sounds right. Minnesota's number one. They're going to be in Minnesota this week.
Which, again, the way these teams are constructed is very interesting this week. Minnesota has everything except potentially the quarterback, who they're trying to plug in. The Patriots kind of have nothing outside of the quarterback, or at least that was the case a year ago when May first got here. So there are different ways to build a team. Which model do you like better? I think this is a good contrast there. ESPN came out with their future projections for the next 3 years. So 25, 26, 27.
Okay, I like this.
The coaching, which includes Vrabel prominently, but it's the entire staff, 18th over the next 3 years is where that ranks in the NFL. The quarterback ranks 7th. And the Patriots overall are tied for 18th. I want to say off the top of my head the team they're tied with is the Bears. Let me double check that. But they are tied for 18th. But
7th is really high, actually.
ESPN is much more bullish on the quarterback than the coach, which again makes me question, is Vrabel the right guy for May?
So, yeah, that is surprising.
And they are tied with Chicago, just to close that loop.
18th. Oh, interesting.
Yep.
But Drake May being 7th over the next 3 years is, I guess, on the one hand, very promising. Like if that ends up being the case, you sign up for that in a second.
Yep.
He's a top 7 quarterback, you know, for the next 3 years, because you're talking about year 2, 3, and 4 in the league. And they already have him ranked in the 20s for year 2. So if he's going to average out to being 7th, that means...
I'm trying to figure out the quarterback...
What?
Trying to figure out the quarterbacks ahead of him now over the next 3 years.
So it's got to be...
Hang on. Ready? Hurts is 8th, so it's not Hurts. Lamar is 3.
Yeah.
Mahomes is 1. Allen's 2. It's not Goff.
Burrow.
It's not Love. Hang on. I'm just scrolling through team by
team. It's got to be the same top 4 guys now. Allen, Jackson, Burrow, and Mahomes.
Yeah, Daniels is ahead of him. Okay, yeah, you're probably right. Herbert's ahead of him. But yeah, that is high. 7th is high.
It's insanely high.
Burrow, you were right. Burrow's the other one. Yep.
So he's ahead of Jalen Hurts and Baker Mayfield. Like that'd be and Caleb Williams and Bo Nix.
Yeah, Caleb is 18th.
Caleb Williams is 18th? So they do not like him.
Nope.
They're down on him.
Caleb
completely.
Is 18.
Wow. So, I mean, you'd take that. It just seems like that's quite a leap. You would think he'd be ranked higher now. Because 3 years isn't 10 years. You're just talking about... So, all the top quarterbacks are pretty young in the NFL, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers is no longer a top quarterback. Russell Wilson's no longer a top quarterback. I personally don't think Matthew Stafford is. I know you do. So, that may be one of the old guys that would dip down.
He'd be way lower on for the next three years. Yeah.
But that's a big leap. And that'd be a massive success if he was 7. But it also seems... like they would be more hand in hand, and how could Vrabel be as low if his quarterback is taken off
like
that?
But again, I think it does go back to that question. Is he and McDaniels, are they the right guys for Drake May? I think it all does go hand in hand back with that. Other items here in the future rankings, their roster minus the QB.
Okay, everybody else, the 52.
26th over the next 3 years.
Wait a minute. I just don't understand this. How can he be the 7th best quarterback, and then you think everybody else? Yeah. I don't know, because you're going to need some help to be the 7th best quarterback.
Doesn't that make sense? The Patriots are 18th.
Yeah.
He's 7th. The roster is 26th. Put them all together. May elevates what's around him.
Well, he should.
He absolutely should. Yeah. We don't know if he's going to. Right, this is a projection on there, and we don't know if he's going to, but I think I'm not going to let him off the hook. I hear a lot of Shime. Shime's like, he's not going to be that great this year, and he doesn't have anything around him, and like... He's building in excuses for Drake May because he likes Drake May and believes in May, as do I. But I'm going to need to see him elevate what's around him, because I think the receivers are good enough to be elevated by a promising quarterback. I think the O-line is good enough. I actually mostly liked what I saw out of the O-line on Friday night, save for one play.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good enough to be elevated by a promising young quarterback, so he has to do that. And if he can't, I think there's enough there, coaching as well, to look at it and say, what is this guy, and is he really reaching his potential early? Yeah. There's a lot on his shoulders this year, and there should be.
This draft class, though, could obviously go one of two ways, but if you're projecting forward, I mean, you have what could be the best offensive lineman in the draft. You have a running back who looks pretty good.
Awesome the other night.
He looks great. He could do a little bit of everything, too. And then you know, I don't know about Kyle Williams as much, but like Christian Gonzalez should factor into that list pretty significantly. You might have the best corner over the next 3 years, and that's one of the most important positions. But all right, overall, I mean, I guess it just seems like this is the first national list that's high on Drake May.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else is pretty down or not expecting much for this season, but a 3 year snapshot to put him ahead of everybody from his draft class, with the exception of Jaden Daniels.
Let me ask it to you another way. In 3 years, should Drake May be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
So yeah. There you go. That's what they have him doing.
Well, yeah, no, but even higher than I thought. Like, I'd probably put him 10 if we're getting into semantics. Like, I wouldn't put him ahead of Jalen Hurts and Baker Mayfield, but I think 10's fine, and that's a success to me. Even one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league, and he's young like that.
Yeah, yes, Herbert's a top 10 quarterback in the league. Like, I would nitpick Herbert and say he still hasn't won a playoff game, never mind a championship. So, like, I would have nitpicks.
But good place to be.
Overall, in 3 years, he should absolutely be. In the next 3 years, he should be a top 10 quarterback in the league. Yes.
So, I think, myself included, we have a hard time really, like, analyzing quarterbacks because for 20 years, you had the best ever. So, everybody else sucked.
See, I think we were really good at analyzing.
Yeah, this guy's good. Everybody else sucks. Yeah, maybe we were.
I think we're really good because
we simplified that.
We don't do
us.
What a lot of other people do, where they look at Goff and they go,
"Maybe he's good,
pretty good."
Yeah,
we
but
don't
guess
do that.
What? After years and years of Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, Cam Newton, Jacoby Brissett, suddenly Jared Goff is pretty good.
So you think we're nose blind? We become nose blind to evaluate quarterbacks.
I think so. So now my point would be, if you have the 10th best quarterback, you at the very least go into each season. This is a low bar, but you know who your quarterback is. The last 5 years, you didn't really know who it was. You're like, oh, we had a Cam Newton, Mac Jones battle. You're like, you have a what? Like, yeah, they signed Jacoby Brissett, and he's probably going to start. It's like, you what?
Huh?
You should know.
Why'd you do that?
There should be no debate who your starting quarterback is. That's the baseline. And then from there, you're like, all right, is he one of the best in the conference? And if he's one of the five best quarterbacks in the conference, you should walk into the playoffs.
We know exactly what we're talking about with quarterbacks. They don't.
Mel Kiper does. He knows quarterbacks better than anybody else.
He does.
He must have been doing the Vince McMahon walk after that Shedeur Sanders performance, just walking into ESPN.
Yeah, I've seen some people. I think our guy Skip, I think, was taking a big victory lap on Shedeur as well.
Is Skip a pro Shedeur guy?
I think he's a pro Dion guy.
Oh, okay.
So I think by proxy, I think
big Shiloh guy.
Less so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that's a fair way to look at it. In the next 3 years, he should be in the top 10. We saw that Mike Sando, the 50 executives, the top quarterbacks in the league. You know, I think there were 13 or 14 quarterbacks on the top two tiers.
Yeah.
By the end of this year, and I heard Shime and Curtis and Courtney and Wiggy talking about this. By the end of this year, we should look at him as a second tier quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, get out of that
crowded middle tier,
the middling group.
Yep.
Get out of there and elevate to the second tier. And by year 3 and 4 in the league, 2 or 3 years from now, you should be.
If
in
you
the
want
top
to crown him, then crown their ass.
That's where he should be.
There.
That's where he should be. Not to be confused with our coaching tiers.
No, which are available right now at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and on Instagram. But yeah, I think that's the hope and maybe even the expectation around here as it relates to Drake May. But yeah, it's funny because there are also guys. Just the way it goes, where they'll sort of peak for a season or two, then dip back down. Like, how consistent can the guy be? Because I'm looking at the tier that we did going back in June. But, like, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, like, Kyler Murray, Tua. You watch him for, like, a month, you're like, it's the best quarterback of all time. Then you watch him for another month, you're like, that guy might not start anymore.
You see,
like,
we're pro Kyler. Did you see the pick he threw the other day?
No, I didn't see it. It was a rough go.
Horrendously
bad. He only underthrew it by about 15
it
yards.
It was so bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the top tier, yeah, you have a bad game, you have a bad pick or whatever, but, like, some of these guys have, like, a bad season, then they follow up with a good season. It's like some of the starting pitchers that we look at. Like, what happened to this guy this year?
Jordan Love, and he's just in my head because news today, he's having a surgery. But, like, Jordan Love 2 years ago looked great. Last year, you looked at him, and you're like, what was all the fuss about?
He's like Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
2 years ago, every other guy.
Every other year guy.
Maybe I do draft him again in fantasy. No, I can't.
Oh, you were burned?
I got torched by Jordan Love last year.
The rule with him is, I think torched. It's the Toyota-thon. You can have him for like those 6 weeks, and then everything else.
He's good during the Toyota-thon?
Yeah, there's an actual stat about how good he is in the Toyota-thon.
So Kyler Murray, you stay away from in Call of Duty.
No, when Call of Duty comes out, you're out on Kyler Murray.
Jordan Love Toyota-thon?
So wait, does that line up? Could you have opportunity?
Wait.
Not to speak my whole fantasy strategy out loud. Do you draft Kyler Murray, trade him for Jordan Love just in time for Toyota-thon? When is Toyota-thon? Does that align with when Call of Duty's released?
I feel like that's going to factor into our Bozo parlays.
That's
this year.
So this tweet was from last December, but not during the Toyotathon for Jordan Love. 3,800 yards, 29 touchdowns, 25 picks. During the Toyotathon, 3,300 yards, 26 touchdowns, 2 picks.
So according to Gemini,
lights out during the Toyotathon.
Wow, I didn't know
that. Mid-November to early January is the average Toyotathon.
Okay.
Oh man.
So that's his sweet spot. So like Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah. That was Biden's America, though. So I don't know. I don't know if that you might. I mean, you know,
did Trump get rid of the Toyotathon? We can't do that.
You might need a different vehicle. I don't know.
That is.
Is there a Fordathon?
Fascinating.
I don't know.
I don't know if there is either.
I don't think so either. They must do something. So wow, he's red hot.
Jordan Love crushes.
Let me tell you. You never
That's a good breakdown.
You never really know what you're going to get on this show.
No, you don't.
But Jordan Love lights out during Toyotathon is something that somehow I'm going to be factoring in. No pun intended.
Nope.
I'm going to be factoring in to my fantasy strategy. I don't know. The auction's Saturday, Keith. So I don't know how I'm using that, but I'm using bit of information somehow.
Oh, and by the way, there will be a Jones and Keith fantasy football league this year.
Sure?
There is.
Sure? There's going to be one very angry texter and or tweeter about this league, I think.
I apologize to Dice. I apologize.
Yeah, this is on Keith. I'm distancing myself
from
this.
Well, we have a 12-person league, but we actually have 13 owners.
Oh?
There's going to be one. Should I save this one now? Or save it for sweeps week?
No. Save it for sweeps? Save it for Toyotathon.
So there's going to be one co-owned team in our fantasy football league.
Oh, who's that going to be?
It's going to be
Billy and Nick.
Three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson and Stiz are going to co-own a team. I think we should film them every week breaking down who's going to start and
sit. Start sits. Who are we plugging in at
the
flex?
The two of them arguing over who the quarterback is each week?
Waiver priority?
Should we do a trade? Yeah, them just crunching the numbers, having full discussions on this.
That is a great idea.
So Stiz and Ted are going to co-own a team, and then you can probably guess some of the other characters that are going to be in it. And then what we'll do, this is a couple weeks out, we'll do a live draft some night. We did this a couple years ago, so we'll stream it on YouTube, and if you want to jump in the chat and make fun of us while we do it, you feel free.
Okay.
So we'll let you know. We'll give you plenty of heads up.
If you make fun of me for drafting Jordan Love, you better know. You better come correct with your Toyotathon numbers. But okay, so Stiz and Ted are co-owning a team.
Stiz and Ted are co-owning a team. Everybody else, I believe, has their own team.
Yeah, okay. Everyone else has autonomy. Those two need.
Stiz and Ted are the Wick Grossbeck and Wick's dad of the fantasy league.
They might have to lock their keys every time they make a pick. That's what they got to do. Every time there's a roster decision, they have to agree.
So it should be a lot of fun.
I like that very much. Yep. Okay, that is our plan for fantasy, our fantasy draft, our fantasy league here, Jones and Keith.
Yep.
T's and P's to Dice. You're on the outside looking in. We're all in the market.
He might stop listening to the show now. He's going to be so mad.
We lost a listener.
Yeah.
We're all in the market for co-managers, though. I feel like Ted and Stiz have a significant advantage.
Oh, he already texted in.
What'd he say?
I am the reigning champ. This is an absolute disgrace.
All right. We're going to have to figure this out. 617-779-7937. That's how you dial up WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Y'all got Hart. Y'all got Fitzy. Y'all got Ted. And Stiz. We also have the clip du jour on the way. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Emptiness is loneliness, and loneliness is cleanliness, and cleanliness is godliness, and God is
Grab Bag.
Just like me.
It's time for Grab Bag.
Certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe. WEEI Grab Bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox are back in action tonight in Houston. It'll be an 8:10 first pitch, 7:10 with the pregame here on WEEI. Dustin May.
Oh, good.
Unfortunately, gets the start tonight. Yeah, not great his last time out. Tall right-hander.
He's working on his pitch mix, though, from what I've heard.
He's got to work on some things.
Yeah. More cutter. A lot more cutter.
Cutter, yeah. Mix it, whatever it takes. He went 3 2/3 last time around. Gave up 6 hits, walked a batter, gave up 3 earned, did leave with runners on 2nd and 3rd. But our guy Murph got him out of a jam and then got sent packing.
Which, again, it was just in poor taste that Ken was taking like a victory lap
Ken
on
hates
that.
Murph.
He hates him.
I don't really know why. Spencer Argetti?
Yeah, Arrighetti.
Arrighetti.
I believe is how you say that, yeah.
Serengeti is getting the start tonight for Houston.
He'll punch you out. That guy's got some case.
Yeah, he hasn't pitched a lot this year. He is just 1-2 with a 7.43 earned run average.
Ooh. Maybe the Red Sox have a shot.
13 Ks and 13 and a third innings.
Well, there you go.
So this will be his fourth start of the year.
Strong ratio.
So hopefully they can get to him a little bit. The money line tonight, it's Sox minus 105, Houston minus 115. So basically they're saying that Houston more likely to win this
game. All losers. We're all losers.
It's a no bet for me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Oh, I didn't ask you about the Houston Astros uniforms from last night. You like those bad boys?
Should we uniform police them?
If we can uniform police them real quick. So the City Connect unis for Houston, they're like the white, they kind of pop.
Yeah, they almost looked old school Atlanta Braves-ish. It said Stros, right? It didn't say Astros.
Which is
kind of
cool. I think that's a cool way of saying it.
Let's hang on.
Did you ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really, really ridiculously good looking?
It's Jones and Keith, Fashion Police.
So they have a couple of different ones. They're a City Connect. They have the navy blue ones that say Space City on them. And then they have these white ones that it's like a lighter orange that like does the little star outline. The swoosh is an orange, white jersey, and it just says Stros.
Yeah.
I feel like you can pop an A on there and
coulda
just write Astros.
Yeah.
That's the name of your team.
I probably saved them a few bucks.
Would
on
you?
The stitching. I did not like these. It sounds like you liked them. I liked them. 21?
Oh, no. 71.
21.
I'm going 71.
I see. I really like the old.
I thought they look good.
In the uniform bracket. Keith.
Yeah, you like the old ridiculous
ones. I love those ones.
Yeah.
They need to do something closer to those than these. I didn't like these at all last night.
I feel like
night,
the hat is very Diamondbacks.
Yeah,
you're right. It is. It's like a Diamondbacks meets old Angels. Remember like the old Angels ones?
Oh, with the halo? With the little halo. Those were nice.
The little halo, yeah. Tony Danza.
Angels in the outfield, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Danza.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like those last
night.
Okay,
you don't like them. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Oops.
How about a nice greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty
grab bag.
Buffalo Bills running back James Cook back at practice despite some contract disagreements.
Ooh. Yeah. I don't know where Dice would take him in a fantasy league, but I think that means we're wheels up on James Cook, I think is what that means.
He won't be taking him in our fantasy league.
No,
he is. Now he's coming at me.
And the text line is flooded with Dice texts and also the Twitter sphere as
mean
well.
Mean tweets as well. A series of mean tweets.
Oh, yeah.
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 Not great.
Oh, I knew you were
grab bag
when you walked in. So shame on me now. Blew me to places I've never been. Now I'm lying on the cold, hard ground. Oh, oh, oh.
Grab bag, grab bag, grab bag.
Taylor Swift is going to be on the Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce podcast, New Heights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to be on there together.
How dare you, Nick?
Those lovebirds. I love love, Nick, so I don't sign off on the Mayo Ground. I love love. And so, yeah, she's going to be on there. I guess she has a new album coming out, too.
You guess she has a new album.
That's what they said, right?
Yeah. No, she does.
If you open Twitter at all today,
is the podcast out yet or no? Just clips of it?
No, the podcast is Wednesday. The only clip I saw was just her and Kelce being like, oh, your shirt matches my eyes or something like that.
Nice.
I say, yeah. Looks nice. Pretty good on the floor, am I right?
God,
but
come
on.
How dare you?
What is
your profanity?
I was trying to find the name of her album, The Life and Times of a Showgirl or something like
the
that.
The Life and Times of a Showgirl?
The Life of a Showgirl. Sorry.
The last Showgirl was a Pamela Anderson movie that just came out last year.
How's that?
Nice. I didn't see it.
Well, Showgirls with Jesse Spano.
Oh
man.
Elizabeth Barkley.
Well, could have
Berkeley?
Barkley?
Berkeley?
Berkeley.
Berkeley.
Elizabeth Berkley.
Sure, her. Saquon.
That movie was.
I'd watch a remake with Saquon Barkley.
That movie was wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to.
Come on, Nick. There's a pool scene that you can't unsee. It's just violent in nature.
What was the topic here? What was the question?
What?
Was oh
Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift. Yeah,
she's on
New Heights.
She's on a podcast with the Kelce brothers.
Nice.
All right, Rich. Here we go. Background music. Gonna give it away. Abra, abra, cadabra. Let Jones and Keith reach out and grab bag ya. Jones and Keith heat up. They can't cool down. The grab bag keeps spinning round and round.
Jones, the Milwaukee Brewers have won 10 straight games. They have the best record in baseball. They have the best run differential in baseball. Are they going to win the World Series?
No. I don't mean to rile up the guy.
They might.
Is that guy still tweeting at us? Our Twitter lines might be a little full.
Oh, on Instagram he's pissed.
Oh, is that what it is about?
He's mad on Instagram.
Oh, you guys like the Brewers now? Yeah. How do you like them now? We've been hearing from that guy ever since we did our MLB tiers.
No, I mean, I like them.
I don't believe in them one bit.
You don't believe in one bit?
Not even a little bit.
Grab bag.
All right. How about Cam Hayward saying that he might sit out regular season games if he doesn't get a new deal with the Steelers?
This is an annoying holdout to me. Like, James Cook, I kind of get. Micah Parsons, I definitely
get. Right.
This one and their stupid kicker, like, guys, just, you know, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Grab bag!
Guys!
Good news, UFC fans. Dana White said the fight at the White House will take place July 4th. They're not like storming the White House, but they're going to go.
That's actually happening?
Yeah, that's what they're going to do.
Dana White said
he's going to go talk to the president and his daughter, Ivanka Trump, and they're going to figure out the details on that. But you can pretty much in pencil anyway. I would say July 4th next year, America's birthday, bring a little octagon to the White House.
Great.
Go see him. And I assume you'd be able to watch that on Paramount Plus.
Nice.
I assume.
I would hope.
That's kind of how.
The new deal. I expect that's part of it. Yeah.
Grab bag on Jones and Keith. Grab bag on Jones and Keith. Grab bag on Jones and Keith.
Grab bag's rule.
Grab bag on Jones and Keith.
Grab bag's on Jones and Keith.
Grab bag's on Jones. Grab bag on Jones and Keith.
All right, we have two dork podcasts out there right now, both available on YouTube, one on the Odyssey app. The second will be available tonight, so it's a full breakdown of weapons. We gave you a little just a taste, a spoiler-free taste yesterday on the show. Full spoiler, full on weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick and I received a text from Stiz today.
Oh, a novel.
Great point. Not really a text. Too long for a tweet.
Did he actually see it?
He did.
Oh.
And he still likes Bring Her Back better. So he's sticking to his point that he made before he even saw the movie.
It's confirmation bias is what that
is. But he's like, when he said there's like, well, there's a few plot things I don't know about. But overall, yeah, it's pretty good. But, you know, it's great. It's great. You're mad about it because you saw like positive
couple things were a little goofy, which I don't necessarily know if I agree with. And some plot points, I was like, eh. But I really liked it.
Oh, okay. So you were a soft five?
No, I went 5.5.
Oh, you were?
I landed on a 5.5.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did.
Great.
I was wrestling with it, and then we talked it out on the podcast last night. I'm like, oh, I really like this movie.
Okay.
So I went firm 5.5.
Okay.
And I think Davey also went 5.5. So okay. Dueling 5.5.
Well, I guess my roundabout question was, and maybe I can ask him when we see him, if he's not busy meeting with Ted about their fantasy team. But where did Stiz grade it? Or was that not that question not broached?
He just liked it. I'll ask him.
5 or 6.
7.
Okay.
And then we had hashtag dork history last night. War of the Worlds 2025 Ice Cube's movie. It's the first 0 out of 6 I've ever given.
That you've
I've
given.
Never given a 0. Actually, I don't think Davey's ever given a 0.
Did Davey?
Sick brag.
He gave it a 1.
Okay, so he still hasn't given out a 0.
No.
Wow.
I was like, I'm going to give this one a 0. And because it was a 1, this is my take. It was a 1 the whole time. And then the last half hour just turned into an ad for Amazon, which it was already on. So I was like, this is a 0. This is insulting to me.
Huh.
Turn on the radio and you'll see two radio hosts playing grab bags make the sports game fun for each and every one.
Yeah.
Do you want your daily Rafael Devers update?
No.
He did homer.
Did he last night?
He homered.
You know what? That's actually something I didn't. I haven't updated my.
But they lost again.
I didn't update the Master Devers file. I forgot to do that actually. Huh?
Yeah, he went 0-4 the night before. He went 1-4 last night. Did sock a dinger, but it came in a 4-1 loss to the Padres. So the Giants are now one game under 500.
Well, in his defense, he has been finally heating up a little bit. I think he's homered in like 3 of the last 4.
Okay.
But yeah, they continue to lose baseball games.
Grab bag.
Are the Red Sox in first place?
Definitely not.
They're getting further. No. They're getting further away.
Yeah, we might need to throw that one out.
We might need another new one.
Every time we bring it up, they start to do poorly. So we need to. Yeah, we need to do something about that.
All right, Jones, who was the best Major League Baseball performer from Monday, August 11th? Was it Zach Neto? 3-for-3, 2 home runs, 3 runs scored. Was it Ramon Urias? 3-for-4, home run, 2 RBI, 2 runs.
Red Sox killer.
Was it Junior Caminero? 3-for-4, home run, 2 runs scored. Was it Shea Langeliers? 3-for-4, home run, 2 runs scored. Was it Jose Soriano? 6 scoreless with 6 strikeouts. Or was it Will Warren? 6 2/3, 2 runs allowed, 7 Ks.
7!
I'm going to go with Zach Neto. That's another Red Sox killer. It was his 8th leadoff home run of the year.
How do you like that?
That's an Angels record.
Wow.
Single season record, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Right, yeah, no doubt.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
Oop, I also missed a quick Patriots roster update.
Oh.
The Patriots have signed running back Shane Watts and released running back Denerick Prince. Mm. So Shane Watts, who played 4 years at Fort Hays State.
Yeah, he's like a really good Division II player, I think. Yeah.
5'9", 195, finished the year with 1,300 rushing yards, 1,700 all-purpose yards. How do you like that?
Pretty good.
Random player today, though.
Oh, sorry, yes.
I was just throwing that in there. I don't want people to be like, hey, Keith, you forgot about the roster move. No, I didn't.
Sorry, forgot about
it. No, I didn't.
You forgot about, what's his name again?
Shane Watts.
Shane Watts, thank you.
Shane Watts.
Yeah, you missed that.
All right, here's a ball player who pitched. We're only giving you one hint. Pitched for several teams in a 21-year career.
Wow.
That's right.
No joke.
Houston Astros, obviously, sure. In addition to Texas Rangers, Boston Red Sox, Milwaukee Brewers, San Francisco Giants, Chicago White Sox, Pittsburgh Pirates, Toronto Blue Jays.
Why are you leaning towards the buy? I got nothing.
I thought maybe you'd have
it. No, I don't have it yet. What year was
he? Pitched for all those teams.
What year was he in Boston?
Early 90s.
Early 90s.
Cracked into the majors, 3 games pitched in 1978. Hung him up after the 1998 season. This man spanned decades.
I mean, it sounds like Eck. It's not Eck.
It's not Dennis Eckersley.
What you say, which side he threw from? Right or left?
Oh, he'd throw it from the right side. Also would dig in from the right side if the opportunity presented itself, which it did.
Good.
When he pitched in the National League for 8 years. He also...
All-star?
Who?
All-star?
No All-Stars. However, in 1990, he had the best ERA. ERA title, 1990.
Bruce Hurst?
Not Bruce Hurst.
But you said he's a righty.
He is a right-hander. Text line has it and Twitch has it.
No!
Did you say what year he was in Boston?
91, 2, 3, and 4. That's when I really got into baseball cards. If you guys want to. Who?
Jeff Reardon.
Nope, not Jeff Reardon. No, this guy was.
Not Aaron Seeley.
He was, I would say, predominantly a starter, although he pitched so long, he also did pitch out of the pen. But 1990, he had a 2.21 ERA for Houston, which led the majors. Or at least
John Dobson.
No.
John Wasden?
No. Way back Wasden?
No. No. I was. No. I'm going to cheat and look.
Yeah.
Do I see it?
Yeah.
Danny Darwin?
He got it!
Danny Darwin?
Huh.
Yeah. Darwin theory.
Okay.
Yeah. Danny Wayne Darwin was known.
I kind of remember that name. I don't even remember him in Boston.
Remember him in Boston, remember him in Houston, all those other teams. Never in a million years.
Huh. He was known as the Bonham Bullet or Dr. Death.
Oh, those are good nicknames.
Those are great nicknames.
Both really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonham was where he was from in Texas.
Got it.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong.
No, I think you got it.
Bonham or Dr. Death.
Who was it again?
He led the league in ERA and did get a Cy Young vote.
Wild.
Probably a hot September.
Well, that was 1990. Who do you think won it?
Oh, yeah, wait. Didn't get a Cy Young vote.
No.
Didn't make an all-star team. Didn't make a
sniff. No. Didn't get a sniff.
Yeah. Okay. Good year. He didn't have enough wins. He's only 11 wins. It was backwards thinking back then.
I guess. Yeah, you would think you'd be in the mix for it. They didn't really look at war.
He also led in whip. ERA plus. Walks per nine. What a year. Cy Young
won that year. Doug Drabek won it because Houston was in the National League.
Yeah.
Doug Drabek won it, followed by Ramon Martinez, Frank Viola, Dwight Gooden, and Randy Myers.
Wow. That was a tough five to crack.
I would say so.
Yeah,
oh, my God. Frank Viola threw 249 and two-thirds innings that year.
How many did he throw the next year?
Probably just the same.
Yeah, okay.
The three guys on that list win 20 games.
Nice. That's there you go. Answer your own question.
That's why men were men.
Votes. Yeah, yeah. He's winning 20 games. That's why.
Man.
There you go. Random ball player every day in the grab bag here on Jones and Keefe. Stay tuned. You got WEEI Afternoons coming your way and the Clip du Jour next.
Back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's time now for our Clip du Jour. Jones, are you ready for that?
Oh, sounds fantastic. What's the Clip du Jour again?
Well, of course, it was a Tom E. Tuesday. Curran joins us throughout the football season on Tuesdays, joins WEEI Afternoons on Thursdays. So just right there, you can tell. He's a very busy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Which one's on firmer footing, I guess, as we get closer and closer to, you know, the start of the regular season?
Can you say the beginning of that again? I started reading a text from my boss, which was rude, stupid, and inconsiderate.
No, no, listen, it's your boss, Tom. Sometimes you gotta pay attention to that kind of thing. That's it. Reading text during the interview. It's like a 10-minute interview.
Yeah.
That happens. Now, if you were doing an interview.
It does beg the question.
Yeah.
He's on a phone.
Right.
You call us on a landline? I don't know.
It's good.
But he's on a phone.
Burner phone.
Burner phone.
Two phones?
Yeah, is that? Well, you're the insider over there. Is that how it works?
Do you check your text during the show, or do you, like me, put your phone in a lockbox?
Well, I'll check it. I'll check it during the show, but you'd be shocked how little I get in terms of correspondence during the show. There's not a lot of incoming text
messages. I have several conversations going on right
standing
now.
Standing by the window. I swear I get service down here.
Yeah, that's true. Like 20 minutes will go by, and it's like you get like all these. You're like, wait a minute. Like, none of those were...
I do get good service down here.
You do?
Yeah.
Because of the droid?
Team droid. Yeah. No,
sick brag, bro.
Droid's working.
So anyway, I hope everything's good with Curran and his boss.
I know.
I don't really know where that went. I haven't heard from him again since. No. Perhaps he's been trying to text, and I'm too much of a professional to look. But there you go. That was the Clip du Jour today on Jones and Keefe. Time now for the crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can visit the Nines, where you can try their new burgers. They're bigger, bolder, and beefier. Their half-pound, 100% American Angus beef is sure to please. Try the new bourbon onion burger and get more Ang for your buck. You gotta love the Nines. What's up, Hart?
What's up, fellas? Appreciate you playing some clips from the
Drake May
one-on-one
exclusive interview.
Yeah,
that's good. Cool.
I think there was good stuff in there. We didn't play the one clip, but we kind of summarized. You were asking him about how leadership doesn't exactly maybe come naturally. I don't want to put words in your mouth how you asked him, but you asked him about taking on more leadership in year two, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, and it kind of manifested from Vrabel and that social clip telling him to celebrate with teammates, and then Vrabel yesterday on the Greg Hill show saying quarterbacks don't get to take a day off. Like, they are the leader of the team on the field, off the field, every minute of every day. And I think Drake May, in his head, understands that.
Mm.
I'm not sure if he understands sort of the fishbowl nature of it, like you're always on, whatever you do is going to be reacted to, body language, all of those things. So, yeah, I don't know if that comes naturally to him. It's almost like the workouts with the receivers come to find out, well, it was kind of a group chat and the receivers kind of suggested it. And then Drake was like, well, why don't you guys just come to my house? So, like, he did the right thing, but it took a little bit of hand-holding, prodding, whatever. And he's young. You know, I joked when I asked him about being married, like, you're more mature now. And he's like, I'm 22 still. So, but the reality
made
is,
made a pretty major life decision.
Yeah.
And age doesn't matter. Now you're married, just like that's a big decision.
Yep.
And you're the quarterback of the New England Patriots. Like,
Bo Nix is married in college.
Yeah, that's a little different. And a little more experience.
He's like collecting AARP. Yeah,
that's fine. Guys in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you like that? Is that a good decision or bad
Getting
decision?
Married in college, bad decision.
So does that make you think of that person in a certain way?
No, I mean, everybody's honestly different. I mean, he's been with her for a super long time. He feels like this is the decision. They've been together that long. At that point, you probably either should break up or get married.
Because a lot of these guys have done it. Drew did it famously here with his wife, was a long time, like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
lot of some of these like high-end quarterbacks have
Dwayne Wade, Russell Wilson.
Which is interesting. Because you'd think the playboy quarterback's going to go off to college and, you know, do what he do.
Yeah. But no, everybody's different.
I learned that. Well, she's one of his biggest critics. I learned that listening to the
interview. Yeah, I found that interesting, and I appreciated that. Because that's how I would be as a husband or wife, whatever.
If you were
I can't help it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always told my wife this, like, how's dinner? You want the answer or want to just move on?
Jesus.
But I also her
yeah, haven't touched your milk steak.
Her
yeah, not a keeper. We don't need. I sometimes say yeah, we don't need to make this again.
Yeah. Nice, that's real nice.
Yeah, that's the subtlety of me. I didn't say it was bad.
No, you kind of did.
No, I tried it.
Yeah.
But yeah, her dad was a college quarterback. Is that what Jake said too? I didn't know that either. That's so I thought that's cool. some good stuff there.
She knows football family.
She knows ball. Yeah. On the Odyssey app, go check that out. What's coming up today?
His kid should be good.
Oh yeah.
So his grandfather was a quarterback. His dad's a quarterback. Mom's an athlete. Cares about athletics.
Yeah.
I feel like the Drake May offspring should be 22 years from now NFL starting quarterbacks.
Move over Arch Manning.
Yeah, seriously, get out of the way. So what's coming up on the program today?
We'll obviously react to what I thought was a really deflating performance for Garrett Crochet last night. I was watching that game, and it's like right off, you're like, okay, the ace, he's going to do his, and then you're like, oh, they're kind of making solid contact, and then all of a sudden it's 2-0 on the Bregman home run. Awesome, special night, cool, wait 3-2, wait 5-2, wait, whoa, what's going on here? So we'll react to that, talk about your concern level after you managed Crochet for a while, and then he goes out and lays a stinker when Bayo and Giolito just kind of laid stinkers. Are you starting to worry about the rotation? And obviously that ties into, well, maybe you should have gone and got Joe Ryan, because Joe Ryan's really good.
Yeah.
Ted will be in at 3, so we'll get his reactions from Friday night. I know he's a big statue guy. I'm sure he'll talk about that for 10 seconds. And then he'll go into Drake May and everything he saw in the field. And the Vrabel execution, I'm guessing he will be a fan of, the way they just sort of put the image of the Patriots out on full display for the first time. So, yeah. Loaded show, a little Red Sox, and then a lot of football.
Okay.
Very good.
Also, Drake May, 7th best quarterback in football the next 3 years.
Seems way too high.
We're homers?
I know. Wait, I'm like,
we're
how is
homers?
But how can you put him at like 22 for this season, which is one of the three that you're talking about?
And then
about?
He's going to spin their prime of their. They're not aging out, any of those guys, right?
No.
So now he's one of the three best quarterbacks behind the accepted, locked-in top four.
And that doesn't even include Daniels.
Holy homers at ESPN.
Yeah, that's what he that's should high. Be in 3 years, though. I don't disagree
Well, they
with
all
that.
Should be.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they be? Like, Caleb Williams should be.
Yeah, they all should be. Exactly.
Daniels, they can't all be.
Yeah. No, they can't all be.
So they're all in on Drake May.
It's not going to be Caleb Williams.
They're all in on the guy who, when the going gets tough, he turns the ball over.
3 years, Bo Nix will have to retire.
Say, Nick's, Daniels, and Penix will be out of the league.
They'll all age now.
They'll age out before Burrow and
company. That's true. Okay, well, that's WEEI Afternoons with Hart and Fitzy. Ted will be in at 3 o'clock. Stay tuned for it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 on a Would You Rather Wednesday here on WEEI.